The parsha tells us here that Lavdo b'chol levavchem, the mitzvah of avodah shebalev of tefillah, is in this week's parsha. So let's discuss tefillah that hopefully people do not have to come in contact with, and that is to daven for the terminally ill. We want to touch upon 2 points tonight. We have a lot to say. That's why I made an outline, because I want to move quickly. You might want to tell your affiliates that we'll be going over time. But the idea is twofold. The first question is, when somebody is in when someone is in pain, are you allowed to daven for the person who's in pain and dying, terminally ill, and there's nothing left to do for them medically? Are you allowed to daven for the person to die, that Hashem should take the neshama sooner, so to speak, so they shouldn't have to suffer anymore? And the second question is going to be, is a person allowed to continue to daven for essentially a miracle when medically there is nothing left to do? We'll touch on both points. Let's begin. The first is the chiyuv to daven for a chola. How do we know that you have to daven for a chola? So we have here a gemara in the Darim Daf Mem. All the halachos, all the concepts of bikur cholim are found here in the gemara in the Darim Daf Mem. And the gemara says that part of the mitzvah of bikur cholim is to daven for the one who's ill. And anyone who does visit the ill and doesn't daven or plead mercy for him, whether it means the person should, according to the Ran, live, or whether the person should die. So this is considered a very big issue. It's considered a problem as well. The Ran explains, when you go visit the Chola, you have to daven and helps improve the situation for the tefillah, and that's why it's very important. The Rush says that if you visit and daven, perhaps that moment, at that time, you'll be lucky. That'll be a Shas Racham. You'll be lucky at that time to daven. It'll be a time that will be good for the person. Therefore, it's appropriate to daven. Then the Ramban, as we mentioned before, has a Sefer Torah Sa'adam, which is the laws of Bikur Chol, the laws of Avelus. The Ramban writes that, and this is cited by the Beis Yosef in Shin Lamed Hei, in Yeridei, and the Ramah, that if you visit a Chola and you don't daven for the Chola, it's as if you didn't visit at all. It's as if there was no Mitzvah Bikur Chol. That's how important it is to daven. You schlep all the way to the city and you go visit the person in the hospital and you don't say it's Tefillah the whole time. It's as if you didn't do Bikur Chol. So that's a bit extreme, but the Gra cites our Gemara as the source of the Ramah. How important it is to daven for one who's ill. So what does that mean you didn't fulfill the mitzvah? So there's a Sefer Pnei Baruch. The Pnei Baruch has become in America the standard Sefer of Minag and Psak when it comes to Hilchos Avelus. In Eretz Yisrael, the standard Sefer is the Gesher Achaim, V'Yichil Michal Tukachinsky. In America, it's the Pnei Baruch. We see this in the fact, just to prove the point, that the Art Scroll book in Avelus is simply a translation of the Pnei Baruch. So that's become the American book. So he has a Sefer on Hilchos Avelus and has a Sefer on Bikur Cholim. So in the Haskama, the letter of approbation that Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher wrote to the Pnei Baruch on Hilchos Bikur Cholim, so he says that the Ramban means that you don't fulfill a portion of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Meaning if Bikur Cholim is 100% and you don't daven and you only go visit, you only get, 70 points on the test. But it doesn't mean you didn't take the test at all. That's how the Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher views it. The Pnei Baruch says that the Ramban is talking about a case where you didn't do anything for the Chola when you came to visit. Meaning, when you go visit a Chola, part of Bikur Cholim is that you're supposed to improve the situation, to make them feel better, talk with them, fluff their pillow, give them something to drink, whatever it may be. If you go visit a Chola and you don't do anything, and you don't daven, then it's as if you didn't go at all. If you go visit a chola and you get them something to drink and you help them out, you raise their spirits, then it's not considered a lack in bikur cholim if you didn't daven. For example, you go visit a chola, someone's sick and they're sleeping at that time. They're taking a nap and therefore, you didn't want to wake them up. So if I go and I also daven while I'm there by the chola, even though they didn't know what I was there, I didn't do anything for them, it's still considered a mitzvah bikur cholim because I davened for them while I went to visit for them. Okay, now why is there a chiyuv to daven for a chola? Now this seems to be an obvious statement. Why shouldn't there be a chiyuv? But there are two general ideas. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Beis and Beis says that if someone can ask rachamim for a friend and they don't, they're considered a chota. They're considered a sinner. So I saw Rav Gamliel Rabinovich. So he writes in the Sefer Gam Ani Odecha in Inyanim Shonim, a different topic. So he says, this must be the reason why when we get text messages and WhatsApps and emails saying, please say tehillim for this person, we go and say the tehillim right away, even if we don't know the person. Why? Because this is what the Gemara says. If you know someone's in need of rachamim and you choose not to daven because you say, I don't want to, or I'm bored, or I'm watching something else, I'm interested right now in davening for the person, you're considered a chota, a sinner. So therefore, the reason why we have to daven for a chol is because if we don't, we'd be considered a sinner. Other people want to say it's lo samod adam reyecha, to stand by idly while your friend's blood is being spilled. You have the ability to help another person and you don't help them. So then, that's irresponsible to see another person suffering and not help them. Would be a violation of an isser in the Torah. Yeah.
But that sick people constantly, 24/7, you could just be davening all day and never end.
Correct, 100%. So it has to be, we're going to measure right now how much a person has to daven. What's considered davening for a challah? That's important to know as well. So we see from
Moshe.
So
why?
What?
I heard a person in China who I can daven from. Nothing young man, never heard of, except somebody has a computer listing. Somebody's going to put a computer listing of all sick people.
Yeah.
Merge all the lists. That means you have to acquire 6 years.
I hear. So let's see what that would constitute, and then perhaps we'll get a better idea of what it means. So we know already what the shortest tefillah in the Torah is when it comes to a challah. We know from Moshe Rabbeinu and Miriam, Kelna Rafana Allah, when Miriam got saras and Moshe davened for them. Rashi says, how come the tefillah is so short? And he explains because he didn't want that Bnei Yisrael should say, look, Moshe Rabbeinu is schlepping out a 20-minute shorneser for his sister, but for us, no, we get to 5 minutes. So they're going to complain and say, you know, he has favoritism towards his family, and therefore that's why he's davening long. So you wanted to show specifically that you can accomplish davening for a challah even with a very short tefillah, and it wouldn't show any type of favoritism. The Gemara in Shabbos, Yud Beis, says it's not proper to daven for a challah on Shabbos, but you can say a number of short tefillahs. We know these tefillahs because we use them. Shabbos, Himru Zokru, Refuah Krova Lavo, a person should have a Refuah Shlema, these types of things. The Gemara says you can use these types of statements as well to be considered davening for a challah. It doesn't need to be, you know, 5 minutes and he rots and refa'enu. It doesn't need to be 3 prakim of tilm. It can be a very short statement. The Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Hei and Rosh Hashanah Zaman Arbach say it's enough to say a Refuah Shlema. So for example, if you see there's a list of somebody in China and they're sick, just say the person should have a Refuah Shlema. And that's enough just to make a statement, a verbal statement, that the person should be cured. It's enough to be considered davening for a Chola. The Agros Moshe writes in Yerodeh Chelek Dalet in Siman Nun Aleph. He's discussing the question of why do people keep, somebody asks him, why do people keep on coming to you and asking you to daven for people who are sick? Why are your tefillos, Rav Moshe Feinstein, any better than my tefillos? So Rav Moshe wrote back to the person and said, technically, you're right. There is no difference. Even the tefillos of a simple person, a lay person, is just as effective as an Adam Gadol and a Tzaddik. People should realize their tefillos also have tremendous power. They come to me, so I'm not going to tell them. I'm not going to daven for them, and therefore I take it upon myself to daven. But we see from all these sukkahs, says Rav Moshe, that even the simplest, sincere, small type of tefillah is considered enough to be in the realm of davening for a chola. You don't need anything fancy. Okay, so with all of this background, let's turn now to the first issue, is davening for the terminally ill who's in pain. So Reb Chaim Pelagi, who was the famous Rav in Izmir in Turkey about 200 years ago, so he writes in his Shuvas Chichkei Levin Yerodeya, and he says that in general, it is usher to daven for someone to die. Meaning, at the baseline, as we start out, you should not daven for someone who's sick to die. That's the assumption. We're going to prove why, according to some, you can. But let's begin with the assumptions why you shouldn't. He says, first of all, the Torah says if you see your friend's property being hurt or damaged, you have to go help them out. So he says, how much more so if I see my friend hurt or damaged to go and daven that they should pass away? Seemingly, it seems to go against the ideals of the Torah. Two, it's usher to curse someone that Hashem should harm them. There's an isra of being mekalel, cursing another person that Hashem should cause harm to them. Certainly then it should be usher to daven that a person should die. And three, it's a lack of hatrei chakamocha. You should love your fellow like yourself. Good. So I see the shaking heads. He's going to flip it all. He's aware. He's going to flip it around in a second. So the poskim debate whether a person can daven for a chola who's terminally ill, in pain, depressed about their situation, they don't want to live anymore, they can't deal with the situation that's going on, are you allowed to daven? So we do find, at least in 2 places in Tanakh, where we find people davening that people should pass away. Now, the caveat is in these places, these are people who davened for their own demise. So it's hard to translate that to other cases, but one is we see by Eliyahu HaNavi, when Izebel and Ahab were chasing him and making his life miserable, and he had to go hide in a cave, and he had nowhere to go, and he had enough of all this, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach nafshi ki lo tov anochi mavosai. He said, take my soul, because I can't deal with this anymore. That's one. And the most famous one is Yonah. At the very end of Yonah, He's depressed about what happened with Nineveh and Hashem schlepping him around. Hashem gives him the famous Kikayon tree, and the Kikayon tree dies. And what does Yonah say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says, Ki tov mosi mechayai, take me, I can't deal with this anymore. Now, there's lots to discuss. What are they exactly complaining about? What was so difficult? But we see that they davened for their own death. Now, that's davening for themselves. That's not davening for another person.
But,
well,
Yonah gets attacked by God for doing that.
Yeah.
So that should be a riot that you can pray
against it. Correct. True. Perhaps. But we would assume that Yonah wouldn't. I don't know. I hear the point.
I hear the point.
Okay, but the source we really care about, and really is the linchpin of this entire topic, is the Ran in the Dharma. The Ran in the Dharma, Nat Gemara, writes the following point. Nira be'enai, dachi kamar pa'amim shit sarich levakesh rachma malachola. There are times when a person must ask for mercy for the one who is sick, shiyamas, that they should pass away. And he brings an example. Kugon shemitzdar hachola b'chalav harbe. The person is in tremendous pain and sadness over his illness. And there is no foreseeable option that the person will get better. Because this is a story in the Gemara in Ksuvas and Daf Kuf Dal Amar Aleph. Came into Chose Amasa de Rebbe, Dal Kama Zimna Lebeis HaKisev Anachthon. Rebbe Yehuda Anasi was at the end of his life. He had terrible intestinal issues, tremendous pain going on. He was racked with illness and he didn't know what to do with himself. The Mitzdarish, he was incredible pain. Amra, she said, she davened, Rebbe's Shivcha, Rebbe's maidservant davened, he ratzon shiakufu helyonim esatachtonim. It should be Hashem's will that those in the upper worlds, the Beis and Shamala, the Yeshiva Shamala, should pull Rebbe into the next world and overpower those people in this world who are davening for him to stay here. Kolomar, diliyamas Rebbe, that Rebbe should die. So when her tefillah, the Gemara goes on to say, the Ran doesn't quote this, but I'll tell you the rest of the story. It's important. The Ran says her tefillahs weren't being heard. She walked outside and she saw that all the chacham of the generation were outside Rebbe's house davening that he should live. So she said, this isn't right. It's Rebbe needs his suffering. We need to end this. So she went to the top of the roof. She took a clay jug and she threw it off the roof and it smashed on the floor. They all turned around, looked what it was. She continued to daven. She pushed her tefillah through. And he died. Rebbe died, and she won. And Rebbe's neshama was taken, and she was victorious in her endeavor at the end of the day. So here the Ran sees it's mutter to daven for someone who's in pain to pass away. Now, the Ran's not alone in this. There is another Rishon. The Sefer Chassid, Rav Yehuda Chassid writes, we say in Koheles, Yechiyah v'eis lamos. There's a time to live and a time to die. So the Sefer Chassidim says, what do you mean there's a time to die? It's not like you do anything about it. It happens by itself. You don't plan for it. Person dies when Hashem says it's time for the person to die. It's not a time to die. It kind of comes without your option. So the Sefer Chassidim says no. It's talking about when a person is at the end of their life and they're racked in pain and that's the end and people are schlepping them out and trying to keep them alive when there's really nothing left to do. Eis lamos. Let the person die in peace and don't make them miserable. Excellent. We will get to that in a moment. We're going to cover everything. So that is source number one. Another source is a Gemara in Bav Metzia Pei Dalet. We know perhaps the famous story of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, the famous brother-in-law and Chavrusa combination. The Gemara there has the whole story, but really you care about that after Reish Lakish becomes Frum and becomes a big Talmid Chacham and they get in a fight and Reish Lakish passes away. Rabbi Yochanan becomes depressed and he has no one to learn with. He's so broken up with what happened. Perhaps he had a hand in Reish Lakish's passing away as well, and he is walking around and he doesn't know what to do with himself. They try to bring him chavrusas to learn with him and they're no good, and it gets him more upset and more depressed. Essentially, Rabbi Yochanan goes insane. He goes out of his mind. He can't deal with it anymore, and the chachamim see what happens to Rabbi Yochanan and they prayed and requested for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to have mercy on him and to take his soul, and Rabbi Yochanan passed away. Another case where we see someone, again, at the end, there's nothing to do with them, they're depressed, there's no future for them. It's not exactly, he wasn't a chola, but he was sort of a mental illness. We see you're allowed to daven for someone to pass away. The third case in the Gemara, without going through the whole Maisa, is the story of Choni Ma'agel, which is, by the way, next week's Daf HaShavua, Daf Chaf Gimel in Tainus. So Choni Ma'agel sees a man who's planted a carob tree, And he says, what's this for? He says, you know, I want to plant a carob tree. So Chonia Malgal says, but it takes 70 years for the carob to grow. So what are you going to get from it? So the guy said, no, just like someone planted a carob tree for me. And he never saw it, so I'm going to plant it and my children will see it. It makes sense. So Chonia Malgal goes to lie down. He wakes up. 70 years have passed. He'd slept for 70 years. And he's walking around, and essentially going through the whole dialogue of the Gemara, nobody knows who he is. His family doesn't recognize him. Nobody respects him. He walks into the Beis Medrash, and no one thinks of him as a Talmid Chacham. And he's essentially lost all connection to this world. And he goes and he asks for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to take his neshama, and they davens, and he dies because he can't deal with being alone and having no connection to anybody else in this world. So we see three stories in the Gemara seeming to support this. Now, there are poskim who argue that the Ran is halacha lemaisa, not a small amount of poskim. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Siman Shin Lamed, hey, you can daven for someone to pass away who's in pain and there's no end. He says halacha lemaisa like the Ran. This is the Shita of the Teferis Yisrael. It is a commentary on Yuman Pereches. It's the Shita of Rabbi Braun in the Sharon HaMutzion BeHalacha, the well-known commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He brings the Ran Lahalach as well. Ruch Chaim Palagi, who before argued for why you shouldn't, says, no, the Ran is Lahalach, but he has a number of qualifications. He says, first of all, the Chola has to ask, has to agree to this. The second thing is that all possible avenues of refuah have been exhausted. And this is all in the condition that the Mispalim are the Shem Shemayim, doing it for the right reason. And the source is Rebbe's maidservant, who is acting L'Shem Shemayim on behalf of Rebbe, and the Gemara never would have quoted it as a proper thing if it didn't agree with it. It would have said, oh, and she did the wrong thing. But it quotes the story and ends the Gemara over there, showing that they agree with her. And Ruch Chaim Palagi then adds that the heter should only be allowed for those people who are not relatives of the Chola. And then he writes something very, very sharp. It's hard to say it's a rule, but it's certainly something to be aware of. He says that the relatives often have what invested in this, because they have been taking care of the person. There is a lot of burden, and it's emotionally burdensome, and therefore he says the relatives are not allowed to do this, because they may not admit it, they may not even realize it, but deep in the recesses of their understanding of the situation, for them perhaps it is a burden that is going to be removed, and therefore he says only a non-relative can engage in this practice. This is also the opinion of Rav Chaim David Halevi, who is the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv and the Shuvah Sanseh L'Charav. Rabbi Lau, the former chief rabbi, writes this as well in the Kovetz Torah Shebaal Peh, that it can't be a relative. All the different types of things that come in. And he says, on the other hand, he says, we shouldn't daven for such an individual to get better if all help has been lost. We'll discuss that in a moment. And he says, if you don't want to daven for the person to pass away, then at least stop davening, though. Don't continue to daven, and we'll discuss that issue momentarily. Rav Sturmbach writes in Tshuvas Hanagos in Chelek Beis that one should only rely on the Ran when the Chol is at a point when he has no more das. He's intellectually not there anymore, and he's unable to do tshuva or do anything constructive with his mind in this world. In addition, the doctors have said there's nothing more to do medically for the person, but if the person is of a sound mind, he says maybe you shouldn't rely on the Ran, and because he's not sure about it. At the end of the above tshuva, he cites a story about Rishul Rezovsky. Rezovsky was the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich, and this is also recorded in a recent biography that was published about Rishul Rezovsky called Harosh Yeshiva. At the very end of his life, they record that he asked his relatives during his final illness to daven to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he shouldn't suffer anymore. And he says, that language, I don't want to suffer anymore, has two sides of the same coin. Either it means, I don't want any more sickness, I should get better, or I don't want to suffer anymore, meaning take me from this world so I don't suffer anymore. He says, if you use such a language that can be understood both ways, that would be an appropriate way to daven as well. And this is repeated in other places as well. He asked Shlomo Zalman Auerbach when he came to visit him to daven that his neshama should pass away. And then after Shlomo Zalman Auerbach left the room, he called him back in and he told him, you know, maybe you shouldn't do it for me because that was only Rabbi Yudan Nasi, who was a very big tzaddik, but I'm not a big tzaddik like him. But in principle, he agreed to the idea as well. Rav Shalom Masas writes this in the Shema Shemagin Chelek Gimel, the Yalka Yosef, quote, Rav Avadya Yosef, participating in such events where they would gather a minyan around the chola and they would daven, and he went and participated in such ceremonies to daven for such a chola who was in pain. So we see there is a very, very strong side. I did not quote any minor leaguers over here. We quote major, major poskim who say that it is appropriate and the right thing to do under the right circumstances. However, Not everybody agrees. So comes the Orchas Rabbeinu about the stifler in Chelek Aleph, and he records the stifler felt that you may not daven v'chol to pass away. We'll see the stifler is l'shitaso in our next discussion. He quotes, not everybody cites the holds like the Ran. What about all the many men Rishonim who don't learn the Gemara like the Ran? I only quoted two Rishonim. And then, this is also the opinion of Rav Vazner in the Shevet Halevi in Chelek Yud, and he says, you find no major poskim. This is not brought in Rambam. It's not brought in Shulchan Aruch to go and daven for somebody to pass away. He says, rather, you can stop davening for the chola to get better. But you can't actively daven for something bad, so to speak, to happen to the chola. And in the Shevet Halevi in Chelek Ches, he explains why the Gemara in Ksuvus and the story of Rebbe is not a proof. And he says, the Shivcha of Rebbe, her, the maidservant of Rebbe, she was a special tzaddikas. And she had a very special neshama. She knew what was going on in the Olam HaSol Yonim. She knew what was going on in the Malachim. She had the right to do that. We don't. We don't have such an insight to make such a decision as well. And in addition, Rebbe was a very special neshama. He came back. The Gemara says he made Kiddush for his family after he passed away. A whole interesting discussion there what that means. And he says, in addition, the case of Rabbi Yochanan was different. Rabbi Yochanan was an Adam Gadol, a huge Talmud Chacham. For him to be insane and not be able to use his mind for Torah was pretty much the end of his life. And therefore, that's not the case by most people as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Rosh Moshe or in the Choshen Mishpah and the Chelek Beis that only very great people whose tefillos are accepted in Shemayim, like the Shivcha of Rebbe, can conduct themselves like the Ran. Unless you are on the level of the Shivcha of Rebbe, says Rav Moshe, you cannot go and do such a thing. He says, in our generation, nobody davens like that. Nobody's on such a level to daven like that. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, we can't allow this. And the Tzitz Eliezer was very, very vocal against such a practice. He writes in 5 or 6 shuvos defending his position against doing such a thing. He writes in Chelek Hei, Rebbe was completely kadosh, he wasn't lacking anything, he'd accomplished everything in this world his neshama needed to do, and therefore the Shivcha could ask for such a death. The Chachamim didn't paskin like the Shivcha. I mean, the Shivcha was a great lady, but it was all the Chachamim of the generation outside and the Shivcha of Rebbe. How do you compare the two things? Now, we used that the opposite way before, but he wants us to learn it one way, and he repeats this in Chelek Zayin in Tzitz Eliezer, Volume 9, Volume 10, Volume 18, 19, again and again and again. He goes back and says why he's correct, people writing him shuvos, and he's batting them away, explaining why he thinks he's correct. And then, in one shuva, the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, who was the Dayan of Eda Charedis, brings him another proof that we didn't discuss. The well-known story of Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. An old woman came to him and said that she's lived a long life, she's had enough in this world, she's fulfilled, she doesn't want to do anything anymore. So Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta asked her, well, what do you do, what's your great zechus? She thinks and she says, I go to shul every day, daven in shul every day with a minyan, and a very makbet to daven to a betzibur. So Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta said, don't come to shul for 3 days. And on the third day, the lady passed away. So Rimin Chasisak says, we see from here that you can do something. So the Tzitz Eliezer explains that that was a case of Shev V'Altase. That was a case where he told her to do nothing. He didn't tell her to daven for death. He told her to sit at home. So that's different than actively going and requesting the death of someone versus just simply sitting there and doing nothing. Okay. What's the compromise to this topic before we move on to the next one? So the Darchei Chaim V'Shalom, the Munkach Rav. So he quotes a tradition from the Divrei Chaim, Rav Chaim of Sanz, who said that you can't verbalize it, but you can think it. It's a compromise. I won't verbally daven, but I'll think Kadosh Baruch Hu should do with the person what's best for the person, and Hashem will take care of the rest. I actually brought for you on the sheet, if you want to see, Rav Yitzhak Lamprinati, the famous author of the Pachad Yitzhak, before Rav Huttner, was the encyclopedic work on different areas of the Torah. He actually brings here a tefillah that people would say to daven in such a case. So you have see that either was not only a tradition, but people had a recorded tefillah to daven for such an individual. Okay, that is topic number one.
This case. There was a story in the Gemara that somebody was dying and there was noise being made outside by wood choppers.
Yes, and it was keeping them alive.
And then they asked that to stop.
Correct. So that Gemara is more of a discussion about an issue of a goses and doing active medical care to keep them alive, things like that. This is more in the realm of tefillah and davening. That's more in the realm of active medical care, withholding, giving, a different perspective on the topic. Okay. how do we understand the idea of davening for a terminally ill patient in general? On one hand, we have a famous Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud, the story of Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu HaNavi. Yeshayahu HaNavi tells Chizkiyahu he's going to die. Chizkiyahu HaMelech says, I don't want to die. And he was gravely ill, but he didn't want to give up. And he told Yeshayahu HaNavi, Kach mikublani mi beis avi abba. I have a tradition from all the way back to David HaMelech. Afilu chero chadim unechas al savaro shalatim. Even if the sword is on your neck, al yimna asmin al rachamim, you can't hold yourself back from asking for rachamim. There's never giving up hope. You always have to daven no matter what, even if it looks like it's the end. And now it seems to be one perspective regarding davening for the terminally ill patient. There's no such thing as the end of the line until the person's not alive anymore. However, we are well aware of Gemara's Nedarim and Ksuvos and Brachos that we don't daven tefilos shav. Tefilos, essentially, we are asking for Hashem to do an open miracle. We have the idea that a person can't go and take an accounting of how much money they made that day after the fact, when they know how much money they made, and ask for Hashem to double the banking count. That would be an open miracle. You can daven before you take an accounting because you won't know how much was there beforehand. We've discussed this in the past by Hanukkah. On Hanukkah, there's a big discussion amongst the poskim. How do we daven the Yehi Ratzon if we skip Al HaNisim and benching? Yehi Ratzon that Hashem should make the miracles like we had in the days of our forefathers nowadays. We can't daven for miracles. It's a tefillah shav. So what are we supposed to do? If a person is medically at the point where science and doctors have said there is nothing left to do, statistically, scientifically, there is literally nothing left to do, the only thing to do is just to sit it out, how can you continue to daven for the person to get better? You are asking for an open miracle. How is that okay? Now, before we get to the due perspective, I just want to be clear. I would never, ever, ever tell a person who's going through such an issue and has such a family member, don't daven, because, you know, there's medically nothing to do and it's a waste of tefillah. First of all, because we're going to see their opinions to rely on. And second of all, if a person feels that this is what they want to do for their dying family member, then let them do what they want to do. I wouldn't get too involved in the theological issues at that moment. It's not the right place or time. We're sitting here in a vacuum where it's a theoretical discussion, so we can talk about these issues and kind of remove some of the painful issues that come along with it and talk about it outside of this issue. Okay. In the above-mentioned biography of Shmuel Rozovsky, so they quote him saying that the Gemara in Brachos says you shouldn't give up when the sword is on your neck. But if the sword is in your neck, says Shmuel Rozovsky, then there's nothing left to do. If it's besoch tzavarav, then you have to give up. So he says, if the person is in a situation where essentially the sword is in their neck, then that's it, he said. There's nothing left to do, and there's no more davening that can be done as well. It would be a tefillah shav, and it shouldn't be done. He suggested the individual who's suffering should not be yimeneh atzmo min harachmim, right? The person who's suffering can continue to daven. That's the other pshat in the Gemara. But the people outside of the person who's suffering should not be davening anymore. There's a reshech that tells the story very often that soon after he was married, he went to Eretz Yisrael for a personal reason, and there he went to Bnei Brak, and he has a story hole there with the stifler, and he met the stifler, but then he went to daven Mincha in Panovich, and in Panovich after Mincha, they wanted to say Tehillim for someone who was a chola, and Rav Chaskel Levenstein got up and said, no, we can't say Tehillim because it's not. There's nothing left to do for the person. It would be a tefillah shav. And Shmuel Rozovsky went over to Rav Chaskel Levenstein and said, no, we were told that there was a case of someone who had a similar situation and they got better, and therefore we can say Tehillim. And Rav Chaskel Levenstein backed off and they said Tehillim for the person. So we see that in practice, Shmuel Rozovsky practiced what he preached as well. Not a surprise, but just a story to support it. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Aliyah Shlomo said, you shouldn't daven for the terminally ill patient if it would be a miracle for him to be cured. And he cites a comment of Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Shulchan Aruch that supports this as well. And Rav Shlomo Zalman adds that if a person does daven for a miracle, and he brings such a sharp point, if you daven for a miracle and it doesn't don't get answered, it's going to be a knock on your emunah. Because you're going to say, I davened, how come there was no answer to my tefillah? You're simply setting yourself up for failure. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman says you have to be so careful when you do that. This is a point that I think about often when we put people on cholim lists, or we have cholim lists in schools for the kids to say tehillim for. So very often, what happens? Who goes on those lists? The people in the worst situations. And what happens? The person's name goes off the list because statistically, in many cases, the person didn't make it. So what do the kids see? Person goes on the tehillim list, you say tehillim for them, and they pass away. And we kind of set up this system that seems to show that the Talmud doesn't work. What we should also do is put people on the Talmud list who are not at death's door. We should also, we shouldn't forget that someone with a broken leg is also a chola, and someone with, you know, a very bad respiratory issue is also a chola, and someone with a very bad stomach issue is also a chola. And it doesn't mean that they're at, you know, a Rahman al-Islam at the end of their life, but they should also be daven for it and encourage people to daven for those people as well, because I think it gives a skewed view of how tefillah works if we're only davening for the worst case scenario. Rabbi Ginsburg of the Chavetz Chaim Center, so he has a Sefer Dibrei Chachamim, he said Shlomo Yashiv saying the same thing. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said the same thing, but he said you can daven for a refuah for the person if it's going to be medically found as well. They tell a story in the Sefer Bishvilei Radin. Bishvilei Radin is the story, the biography of Rav Moshe Lendinsky, who was a Rosh Yeshiva in Radin in the days of the Chavetz Chaim. Rav Naftali Trupp had a very tragic end to his life. He had a hemorrhage in his head, and he was in a very bad situation. And they were in Radin saying Tehillim for him, and the Chavetz Chaim was saying Tehillim, and the Bacham were saying Tehillim. And Rav Moshe Lendinsky saw what was going on, and he walks into the Beis Medrash in Radin, and he said, "What are you doing? Let Rav Naftali pass away in peace. What are you schlepping it along for? There's, the doctor said there's nothing to do. They're filling him up with all types of shots. They're trying just to keep it going a bit longer. Enough!" And they stopped. The Chafetz Chaim listened. They stopped. The Bacham stopped. They stopped saying Tehillim. And that was the end for Rav Naftali Trupp, as brought out by Rav Moshe Lendinsky. However, there is a school of thought that says one should daven for the terminally ill chola. And those who do certainly have what to rely on. We'll call this the Sheet of Bnei Brak, because the Rabbanim that we see from Bnei Brak seem to support such an idea. The Stipler and the Chazon Ish and Rav Shach all write in different places. This is brought down most openly in the Sefer Toldos Yaakov, which is a collection of ideas cited in the name of the Stipler on page 118. The Orach HaSorbeinu Chelek Alf, the Per Hador, the five-volume biography of the Chazon Ish that was collected after the Chazon Ish passed away in volume 4. So let me just summarize a number of the points they bring down. Now, regarding all these points, you can read them the other way as well. Meaning the other side of the argument can technically read them to their way as well. You'll see what I mean. The first is that tefillah can alleviate the pain of the chola. Okay, the other side would agree to that as well. The second point is, even if the tefillah adds a few more moments of life, every moment of life is precious and it cannot be measured. And with a few more minutes of life, a person can do tshuva. The third is that there are many cases where people have been saved with chasdei shemayim and miracles occur. Well, the other side says, you're not supposed to daven for that. So that's their argument. The fourth is that perhaps through tefillos, a medical means of saving a person will be suddenly found. Okay. The fifth is that davening for a chola gives the chola merits, because in his merits Jews are davening, and sometimes those tefillos can help the descendants of the chola. Six, any tefillah creates yeshuas across the world. Seven, the act of davening creates a kirvas Hashem. And even if the person dies, the person who was davening was still involved in avodas Hashem. And then eight is cited in the Sefer Orchos Habayis. Orchos Habayis is Rav Bergman, Rav Shach's son-in-law. So he says in the name of Rav Shach that you have to daven. And even if the tefillah may not work because the tefillah is not going to work, there's still a chiyuv to daven if there's a tzara. Now, Rav Shach doesn't really elaborate, but this touches on a sheet of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes in three places in his drushos regarding the famous question, why does tefillah work? And that's not our discussion right now. Are we changing Hashem's mind? It was already part of the plan. The Chassam Sofer says, we daven because it's a chok. Just like Parah Adum is a chok, so too tefillah is a chok. You daven because you're supposed to daven. Because Hashem said in this week's Parsha, you're supposed to daven. That's what you do. A Jew davens. Do I have to understand why it works? No. But this is what we do. So if Shach says, a person is sick and a person is Be'ez Tzara, what does a Jew do? He daven, and therefore that was his perspective on this as well. There's actually an entire kuntras called the kuntras Lev Moshe by Rav Ram Goldschmidt, who is a Talmud of the Mir, Talmud, I think he's like a grandfather now, for a very long time. So he has a whole kuntras arguing about why you should continue to daven, and you shouldn't stop davening for such a situation as well. The Sefer Mevaser Tov by the Biala Rebbe Tchias HaMesim has a long argument as well that a person should daven no matter what. So just to summarize, to bring it all together, the importance of davening for a chola, I think we've expressed that to its nth degree. We've explained why, if a person, you have many, many shittas to rely on to explain why you can daven for a person who's in a terminal illness and is there's nothing to do and they're in pain and they're suffering, they have what to rely on. And we also explained the base medrash of those who say you should not daven in such a situation. But really, the bigger issue here, and probably the most difficult one, is that technically, according to Rove Poskim, the letter of the law seems to be not to daven for the terminally ill when there is nothing left to do. Emotionally, certainly that's hard to tell someone, and it's a hard thing to swallow, and those who do certainly have giant shoulders to rely on to support those who continue to daven, and hopefully no one should be in such a situation.
To the hashkafa thing that we never know who's going to, I mean, I'll tell you, but see us, the docs are dead wrong.
Correct.
I mean, so how, and also hashkafa, we tend to, I mean, even though we believe we know, but we...
We don't.
We don't.
Correct, don't. So that's the argument of the Chazon Ish and the Stipler. We don't. There's always something. That's the argument. That's what they would say.
I mean, that's why I say it.
Yes, 100%. Okay.